You're going to want to set the alarm on your phone for a little earlier than usual tomorrow, 5:08 a.m. to be precise, because that's the exact moment when the sun will rise in our fair city and our burning gaseous star will align with the Earth and the Moon for an annular eclipse. And to help us safely look at the skies, let's catch up with Kelly Beatty. He's senior editor of Cambridge-based Sky and Telescope magazine, on his way out of town to chase the eclipse. And Kelly, for us still here in Boston, what will this so-called Ring of Fire eclipse look like tomorrow?
The Earth, Moon, and Sun will line up in such a way that the Moon goes directly across the Sun. But because the Moon's a little farther away than usual, it won't completely cover the Sun and will literally leave a ring of sun in the sky. And that is called an annular eclipse. And you are not going to see that in Boston, I'm afraid. The path for that is southern Canada, Greenland, the North Pole, and Siberia. So maybe we can all catch a flight. In Boston, what's going to happen is that the alignment won't be that perfect. And so we'll see a deep partial eclipse of the sun, where the moon kind of goes over the sun, but not quite, covering about 80% of it just a little bit after sunrise.
Kelly, you said catch a flight, and that's exactly what you're doing, right?
Oh, I am. I'm actually in O'Hare in Chicago on my way to Minneapolis. This path through Canada is pretty remote place. And of course, the border with Canada is still locked down. So we Sky and Telescope, based in Cambridge, have chartered a Delta plane leaving Minneapolis. We have about 35 people on board. We're going to fly off into the night over southern Canada, take a left turn as we get north of Lake Superior. And we're going to watch the annular eclipse, the ring eclipse, from 38,000 feet. And then we're going to fly back to Minneapolis and have breakfast.
Okay, so for you, what will it look like?
We'll be catching it at its geometric best. The Earth, Moon, and Sun will align. The Moon will move directly over the center of the Sun. It'll be a few degrees above the horizon, which will make it that much more dramatic. And the Moon will be perfectly centered in the Sun, so it'll be this thin ring of sun remaining in the sky, and then a few minutes later it'll move off and the eclipse will begin to wane.
And then you'll land back on ground. Of course, I'm also reminded of the viewing safety, so I do want to just pull back for a second here to remind folks that it's never safe to look directly at the sun. So how should we here in Boston stay safe while looking at it tomorrow morning?
Right. You set the stage, right? So the eclipse will be well underway when sunrise occurs at about 5:07, 5:08 in the morning. And so if you can get anywhere that has a clear view to the northeast, I'm talking perfectly flat, you will see literally coming up from the horizon a shark fin shaped bit of sun, a horn, if you will, indicating that the eclipse is well underway. And as the sun rises, the eclipse will actually get a little bit deeper and deeper and peaks at about 5:33. Now, a lot of the sun is still showing, so you want to view it safely. And that means just don't look at it directly. There are a couple of ways you can do it. If, for example, you've got eclipse glasses left over from 2017, that would be a great way to do it. If, as long as they're not, like, you know, got holes in them or something, they'll be safe to use. Most people won't have that. And so a couple of things I would suggest are, let the sun shine through your crossed fingers against a wall and crisscross like a waffle pattern. And you'll see little crescent suns from the holes.
Like hold up your fingers like you're making a makeshift screen?
Yes, exactly. Or use a colander or a straw hat with little holes in it and let little bits of sun shine through against a plain surface like a wall. And you will see little crescents on the wall where each of those little dabs of sunlight land. That is an absolutely safe way to do it.
You know, you mentioned 2017, and Kelly, I remember gathering here at WBUR with our entire staff on the roof of our building. We were wearing those special glasses, and some of us were holding those shoe boxes up to our eyes and looking at the total solar eclipse back then. How will this one, an annular eclipse, for those of us who might not understand the difference, how will they differ?
Well, so first of all, in Boston, what you saw was a partial just like this one.
Okay.
And I think the sort of depth of the bite out of the sun will be pretty comparable. So if you remember what it looked like then, you're going to have a repeat, except it'll happen at sunrise. It's amazing. The difference between total and annular, you know, geometrically, they're the same. But when the moon completely covers the sun, then there is no sun left in the sky. The sky gets dark. So you're left with a black spot, like a bullet hole in the sky, surrounded by this ethereal, wispy, iridescent cloud, the corona, which is Spanish for crown, that is electric in its brightness. It's just astounding. That represents the superheated atmosphere of the sun, a couple of million degrees, giving off its own light and reflected light. And the only time you can see that corona is during a total solar eclipse. Unfortunately for Boston, that will not be the case tomorrow morning.
Kelly, just hearing you talk about this in the way that you do, it's very clear to me that you are an umbrophile, if I could put it that way. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. You know, there's a group of maybe 500 or 1,000 people worldwide who will go to any length to see one of these solar eclipses. And so our flight gives very literal meaning to the term eclipse chaser, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're chasing it down over the skies of southern Canada.
I'm still thinking about this idea that so much has changed in the past year about the way we experience so many different things, communal experiences. And I do remember back so fondly to that 2017 eclipse. And I'm just wondering what's lost when we don't have these communal viewing moments of things like this.
Well, I have to say, you know, the pandemic has been very good for amateur astronomy. People were stuck at home, often with their families and kids in tow and such, and they were looking for things to do. And it turns out that telescopes were flying out of stores. So much so that because a lot of them are made in China right now, and the supply chain from China was kind of constricted, a lot of places that sell telescopes ran out. So right now we have this good moment where a lot of people are discovering the sky maybe for the first time, or rediscovering what they remember from their youth. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all good.
Yeah, you know, when I think about most of the time, we're just good little worker ants keeping our heads down here on Earth. But then every once in a while, from time to time, we get these celestial moments that remind us to look up and pause and reflect. And I'm just wondering from you what you think it is about moments like this that fascinate us on such a basic, universal, human level.
They fascinate me because this is what my whole life is wound up around. Like last year, some people remember maybe a superly close conjunction between the planets Jupiter and Saturn in the sky. They were so close together, hadn't happened that way for centuries. And then these eclipses are another kind of cycle of the solar system. The sun, moon, and Earth align and go their separate ways and then align again, whether we're here on Earth or not. I think it's special that we're in a place where we can enjoy this. There aren't any other planets that we know of in the solar system that, or anywhere for that matter, that have this kind of special geometry. Total solar eclipses in our solar system can only happen on Earth.
You just gave me chills there. Thank you. That's Kelly Beattie, senior editor of Sky and Telescope magazine, joining us from O'Hare Airport. Kelly, thank you so much.
A pleasure.
And again, don't look directly at the sun. If you use a colander or something to see the partial eclipse of the sun, turn around and look at its reflection on a wall or some other surface. We've got more information on how to view tomorrow's eclipse safely at our website, radioboston.org.